Well, good morning, everyone. Our college students are away on a retreat this weekend, but our teens are joining us, so welcome, teens, and welcome those of you who are new as well to our church. Who am I? Who are you? You may say, I'm an electrician, I'm an architect, I'm an IT guy, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a stay-at-home parent, I'm a social worker, I'm a bank teller, I'm a bus driver, I'm a physio, I'm a nurse, I'm unemployed, I'm retired. And oftentimes, we are what we do. We are what we have, and we are what people say or think about us. So what does this mean for us anyways? Well, our culture tells us that we're nobody, that we're no good, that we don't measure up, that unless we look like this, I mean, who really looks like that anyways? Come on, maybe Aaron Chan, but unless we look like this, unless we dress like this, unless we live like this, unless we drive this, or we have all these things, we're just not good enough. We don't rank or compare. The world measures us according to its standard, how we look, dress, live, what we drive, and what we do. And so you see, our sense of self, our sense of self-worth is oftentimes tied in with the world's definition of success, of worth. And that's why we spend so much of our time, our money, our effort chasing after and accumulating these things. But our identity, our worth, should not be based on these things. Because they're fleeting, and they change all the time. Like all of us, Jesus wanted to know who he was. He wanted to know what he was supposed to do. I'm sure he must have wondered growing up how he could please his earthly parents and follow his father's footsteps as a carpenter, or be someone that his culture would admire, see as important, and contribute to society. I'm sure these things must have crossed his mind every now and then. Or how he can please his Father in heaven. How he can gain his Heavenly Father's approval. But then in the passage that was just read to us earlier, during Jesus' baptism, he hears these words of affirmation that literally changes his life and his ministry forever. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Have you heard these words before? Have you heard these words from God calling you his beloved? What voices do you hear? What are they saying to you? For the rest of his life, Jesus begins to understand himself and his relationship with the Father. And he's reminded of this relationship over and over again throughout his life. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there and many followed him. And he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul was well pleased. And then as well in Matthew chapter 17, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I would make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You see, Jesus accepts his role. He knows the purpose that God has for him. Now, because Jesus knows who he really is, he can then go and do the things that he was supposed to do. He can trust God even when everything falls apart and even when death approaches. Jesus lived his life knowing that he was the beloved Son of God. Jesus knew he was the beloved Son of God. You see, it's not what we do that determines how we're loved by him. Jesus, before he even started his earthly ministry, before he performed any miracle, before he healed anyone, before he made known the kingdom of God, was said of him during his baptism, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Jesus, the Son of God, did not do anything to earn the love of his father. He was already beloved. That's why when the devil tried to tempt him in the desert 40 days later with thoughts of significance, with thoughts of grandeur and wealth, it did not affect him because he knew where his love came from. It did not come from his accomplishments, from his significance, from his status and wealth. It came from the knowledge that he was God's beloved. He was precious in God's eyes from the very, very beginning of time. Sometimes, instead of hearing the voice that says, you are my beloved, on you my favor rests, a lot of times we hear the louder voices in our lives that says, prove that you're worthy of people's love. Prove that you're worthy of God's love. Do something spectacular. Do something breathtaking. Do something magnificent. And then you'll earn the love that you always wanted. Is that what the devil was tempting Jesus with? Is that what he is tempting us with? To not be content with our status as the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God. The word beloved, it's a term of endearment that you hear couples say to one another, my beloved wife, my beloved husband. It's a term that people use to describe who those who are dearest to them, those who are special, those who are dearly loved. You see, the word beloved means esteemed, dearest, favorite, worthy of love. It's a word indicating an action on the part of the one doing the loving. God has chosen to love us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And so our role simply is to be loved, to respond to God's love for us. First, Jesus knew he was the beloved Son of God. Second, know that you are the beloved child of God. Henry Nouwen says that as the beloved, we are God's chosen ones. God chose us as his beloved son, as his beloved daughter. Now the word chosen may have a certain connotation for you. It may be good or it may be not so good. When I was in elementary school, I dreaded PE class. I dreaded gym class. Not because I didn't like sports or anything, but back then, in the 1970s, when they wanted to divide up the class into teams, they didn't just number off or randomly split the class in half like they do now. But rather in my school, they would choose two people to be team captains. And these two team captains would then choose those that they wanted to be on their teams. Inevitably, it would always be those who are the best athletes who are chosen first. And then the rest are picked until only a few remain. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone through that before, but let me tell you, it's not fun. It can be extremely stressful when one by one, others are picked and you're left there standing as the group of unchosen ones. Have any of you experienced that before, growing up? Chosen last? The fear of not being good enough. Either you're not athletic enough, you're not popular enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, or you're just not good enough somehow. Now, I wasn't the best athlete, and I blame that on the fact that I grew up in Hong Kong and they didn't, you know, wean you on sports early on in your life. But I wasn't the worst either. But I knew what it felt like. I knew what it felt like to not be chosen from the very start. And you had to wait your turn as others were chosen ahead of you because they were more athletic. They were more cool. They were more part of the in crowd. And so when the time actually came for you to be chosen, it felt like you were not wanted or you were just an afterthought. But thankful. I'm thankful that it is not like that with God. The Bible says this, for he chose us, God chose us, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. You see, God chose us before the creation of the world to be his sons, to be his daughters. And so even though our world does not choose us, or we've been bypassed for whatever reason, been bypassed for a job position, been bypassed by another person, been bypassed for a residency placement, know that you are the beloved of God. Hear what the Lord says about you in Scripture. In Psalm 139, he says, I have knit you together while you're still in your mother's womb. And in Isaiah 49, it says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And in Jeremiah 31, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to head into 2017 knowing that you are chosen by God, that you are his beloved son and daughter. And out of this knowledge that you are his beloved, live and serve God in such ways. As I was thinking about what we preached on last year, do you remember what we preached on last year? We actually preached on, let me just write this down. We actually preached on the mission of Fraserlands Church. Do you remember that? I know I'm getting fancy here, aren't I, with flip charts and everything and cameras. We actually preached on the mission of Fraserlands Church. You remember that? And what did we say when we preached on that? What were some of the things we mentioned? The five B's, right? Okay, so number one was what? I heard it somewhere. Befriend. Okay, number two was what? Sorry? Believe. Great, thank you so much. Believe. And number three was? Belong. Thank you, Janine. Belong. Some of you guys are almost there. Number four, what? Someone said it earlier. I think Frank has said it earlier. Become. And then lastly, right, is what? Okay, I heard that. Be sent. Be sent. You know, I think we missed out on a very important B here. I really think we missed out on a very important B. Why do I say that? Because of what happened in Matthew 3. You see, we always seem to think that it's because of what Jesus had done that the Father said these words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." But this took place, Matthew 3. Jesus' baptism took place before Jesus had done anything for the Father. Before Jesus began his ministry, he was loved by the Father. And so what does this tell us? It tells us that what pleases the Father more than anything else that we do, what is the most important to God, is our personal relationship with him. Our intimacy with God is more important than what we do. Because it's out of this love, out of this intimacy, that's how Jesus found his strength to do what he did. That applies to us as well. As we try to live out these five B's, the mission of our church. Sometimes we do things out of fear. The fear of not being good enough. The fear of what people may say. The fear of not succeeding in life. The fear of not living up to others' expectations of me. The fear drives us to do things in life. The song that we sang earlier, we're no longer a slave to fear. We're a child of God. You are a beloved son of God. You are a beloved daughter of God. But you may say, "Pastor Abe, you don't understand. You don't understand the voices I'm hearing of people saying that I'm not good enough." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I do. I struggle with this too. And I hear you. Sometimes there are voices that say in my ear, "Who are you? You call yourself a pastor? You're not caring properly for your sheep. You're not preaching as good as Pastor so-and-so. You're not doing enough evangelism. You're not doing enough discipleship. You're not doing enough visitation." But in moments of God's grace, I also hear the words of the Father saying to me, "You are my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased." That's why the Apostle Paul prays this prayer for the Ephesians. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Because it is in our knowledge, it is in our understanding, it is our embracing of God's love that we draw our strength, that we draw our security, that we draw our self-worth. Henry Nouwen said this in his book, Life of the Beloved. He said, "When we claim and constantly reclaim the truth of being the chosen ones, we soon discover within ourselves a deep desire to reveal to others their own chosenness. Instead of making us feel that we are better, more precious or valuable than others, our awareness of being chosen opens our eyes to the chosenness of others. That is the great joy of being chosen, the discovery that others are chosen as well. In the house of God, there are many mansions. There is a place for everyone, a unique, special place. Once we deeply trust that we ourselves are precious in God's eyes, we're able to recognize the preciousness of others and their unique places in God's heart. So when I read things like this, and I reflect on Matthew 3, on Jesus' baptism, and what the Father said to him at his baptism, I think we need to rethink this a little bit. Just to rethink that a little bit. Switch over, actually. I don't think it's as linear as it is this. I don't think the mission of Fraselands Church is so linear that we do this first, and then we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this, and then we do that. I don't think it's that way. As I reflect on just what it means to be loved by God and what is our mission as a church, I think it goes something more like this. So we still have the five B's. I'm not taking anything away so I don't get in trouble. So we have befriend. Okay, we have believe. We have belong. We have become, and we have be sent. The five B's, the mission of Fraselands Church. But what I sense God saying to us as a church, and God saying to me as I speak on these messages, is that first, we must know, we must recognize, we must embrace that we are beloved by God. We are beloved by God. And out of this belovedness, that's how we can befriend others. That's how we can believe in Christ and grow in our belief. That is how we can belong to the church and to continue connect with believers. That is how we can become more like Christ every day. And that is how we can be sent to make disciples of all nations. It all stems from the fact that we are beloved. Just like Jesus. When Jesus heard that he was beloved, he could go and preach God's word. He can go and proclaim the kingdom of God. He can go and drive out demons. He can go and heal the sick. When Jesus was beloved by God, he could be a friend to sinners and tax collectors, and he didn't care what other people thought of that. People could have said that he was hanging around with those who were sinning. He didn't care because he knew that's what his role was. When Jesus knew he was beloved, he can live in the world but not be part of it. When Jesus knew he was beloved, he could do the will of the Father. When Jesus knew he was beloved, he could sacrifice himself. He could become a sacrifice and die for our sins. And it's often like that, isn't it? Like I said, it's not so rigid as to we do step one, befriend, believe, belong, become, be sent. It's very fluid. It's very fluid. Once we know we're beloved by God, we can quickly be sent to preach the gospel. We can quickly be sent and make disciples of all nations. Once we know we're beloved by God, we can belong to his family. Once we know beloved by God, we can do the will of the Father and believe. Once we are beloved by God, we can become more like Christ. Once we're beloved by God, we can befriend others and love them unconditionally. It's not so rigid. It's very fluid. But it all stems from the fact that we are beloved of God. I hope you know this morning that you are beloved by God. Because everything we do, everything that we are, all that our church is going to do in the next little while, it's going to stem from the fact that we are God's beloved. So again, I just want to reiterate this. No one misunderstands me. I'm not taking away any of the five B's. They still remain the mission of Fraserlands Church. What I'm saying is, before we do any of these, we must come from a place where we know we are beloved of God. And out of that belovedness, we can then do the mission of Fraserlands Church, what God has called our church to do. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up right now. And to end the service, we're going to do things a little differently. But I don't want to just start us off. Harwood, if you can start us off by singing this song. And I hope that as you sing the song, You're Beloved, you can really sense that God loves you so much. So respond to God as we sing this song. Let's rise and worship together, shall we? Your feet.
Lord, you wear well, compared with your glory. Oh Lord, Lord, you wear well, compared to your majesty. I am your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom. I'm ashamed to call me your own. I am your
the benediction for today. I want to ask to see if we could do this together. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to turn to each other and to say to one another, you are a beloved son of God. Or, if it's female, you are a beloved daughter of God. And say it as if it was the Lord himself speaking through you to bless the other person. Now, when you do so, I want you to turn to the person on your right. I want you to turn to the person on your left. I want you to turn to the person in front of you. I want you to turn to the person behind you. I want you to turn to the person across from you, in front of you, in both directions, and behind you, across from you, in both directions. Because I want you to hear this today, not just from me, but from each other many times through, at least 5 or 6 times, okay? So let's do this for the next while. Please turn to one another and say, you are my beloved son. You're a beloved son of God. You're a beloved daughter of God. You are a beloved daughter of God. I'll see, you are a beloved daughter of God. Harwood, you are a beloved son of God.
I'll see, you are a beloved son of God.
Caitlin, my niece, you're a beloved.
Let's just gather together and just really declare that we are the children of God.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God.
by the arms of the Father. I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. We're the sons and daughters. Let us sing our freedom. Oh, 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 oh.
Praise Lands Church. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and hear this from the Lord this morning. You are in the waters of baptism with Jesus, in the river next to Jesus. And as you arise out from the water, you hear a voice from heaven saying, "My beloved child, rest from doing. Rest from performing. Rest from pursuing after things. Rest from the fear of not being good enough. Not good enough son or daughter. Not good enough mom or dad. And not good enough husband or wife. And not good enough employee or employer. And not good enough Christian. And not good enough leader. Rest from these fears and hear these words from your Father in heaven. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. With you, my favor rests. So come, rise out of the water. For you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. So come and live in my favor, beloved son, beloved daughter of God. Amen. Go in peace, everyone. May the Lord bless you.